went on the show, we were like, okay, either we're going to get laughed out of the room or they're going to absolutely love it. And thank God everyone absolutely loved it.
Did you know a Stanford study concluded that 20% of American meals are enjoyed in the car? And since Chick-fil-A nuggets are 100% better with sauce, you are going to love today's episode featuring the three guys behind the ingenious invention known as the Sauce Moto Dip Clip. This is a very special ediption of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast. I'm your host, Allison Storm. I'm joined by Jim Mann. Jim, do you remember a few years ago, I think it was like your 82nd birthday, and I gave you a Sauce Moto?
You know, I don't really remember my 82nd birthday for some reason, only because it's decades off, but I do remember the Sauce Moto.
Yes. That was like your favorite birthday present you've ever gotten, right?
Ever.
Well, I think you are going to love today's show because without further ado, I'm thrilled to introduce you to the three friends from Cleveland, Tony LaHood, Will Mojias, and Mike Corey. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Thank you for having us.
Set the scene. Where are you guys right now?
Well, right now we're in my truck outside of our warehouse, eating Chick-fil-A and dunking our nuggets in our Sauce Motos.
I love it.
I'm hungry. Man, is there room in the truck?
Wait, you guys? Absolutely. You guys don't have Chick-fil-A over there?
Not at the moment. Oh,
we're
wow.
Jealous. We can hear you eating and chewing your nuggets.
I think you should get a sponsor, maybe, and then that way you guys can have good recording. Yeah.
Can you guys each take just a few seconds to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Will. I don't even know what I wasn't ready for that.
What are the highlights?
There's not much to say about Will.
Will's got a very artistic background.
Not good art, but just artistic.
Yeah, it's like refrigerator, you know, magnet.
I am the main taste tester, product tester for Sauce Moto.
Yeah, okay. He does all our graphic work and marketing and pretty much everything.
Yeah, he's got his hands in a lot of the cookie jars over here.
And I'm Tony. You know, I don't know what I do or bring to the table in this business, but
Tony's the one that forced Mike and I to get this idea off the from the drawing board and made it real.
That's true. Yeah. I did push very hard for Sauce Moto to become a reality. So
yeah, Mike here. I engineering and background did a lot of the I guess sourcing for manufacturing, design for engineering and functionality, with a lot of help from Will on aesthetics and you know, functionality of such a simple item. But there's a lot to the background of it.
It's magical.
It is magical. And I think it's also kind of magical how you guys met, because you've known each other for a long time.
Yeah. So me and Mike are cousins. We grew up basically like brothers, every day spent at either my house or his house. And Mike and Will,
we met in college, and then we've been stuck together ever since.
College roommates, and kind of knew we wanted to do a business together.
Yeah, so we started out with 3D printing, and that's kind of what got us into the first prototype of this Sauce Moto.
Yeah.
What I understand your moment of inspiration came while you were on like a road trip. Was this just like a bro trip for dudes and you guys were doing something fun?
Basically, Tony and I and our friend Dan were on a road trip, got some nuggets and fries, and then I think I spilled some in Tony's car.
He did. He did indeed. And that fortuitous spill basically just led us to start thinking about things in the car. Like, why must we either choose not to have sauce or, you know, have sauce and risk spilling it all over the place? So we started brainstorming, came up with like 4 or 5 different, you know, variations or ideas that we had, and got back from our road trip and kind of put it to bed for...
Like nothing happened
for a few years, yeah.
And then when Mike and I got our first, or built our first 3D printer, one of the first things I remember making was, like, it was like in the middle of the night, like 4 a.m., I printed our first, what would become Sauce Moto. We called it Dip Clip back then, but it only held like the McDonald's, the Burger King, the smaller square sauces. And people just like were like, oh my God, I want that. And that's when we started to feel like, hey, there might be something here. But then what the key was, most people, and my cousin Christina was the big advocate there, she said, you have to fit Chick-fil-A. And I said, well, it's a different size. It's going to be tough. I don't know if we can do it. And then years later, with Tony's push, I was like, hey, guys, we got to do this. We sat down. It was another late night session of design iterations. And then one after the other, we figured out how to fit all the top restaurants. So it fits McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, Burger King. Sorry, I'm using bad words on the podcast. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut you off.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got to go.
Edit that out. Edit that part out. It only holds Chick-fil-A. That's it.
So bottom line, Christina is the true hero here for us.
She really is. And I remind her of that. And I thank her for that.
We thank you too.
I think one of the biggest drivers too is the amount of dip clips. At the time, we called them dip clips. The amount that got stolen from our cars.
Yep.
And or just borrowed, quote unquote. Every time someone would be in our cars, they would kind of see it in the vent and they'd say, what is that? And we'd tell them what it did. And all of a sudden it'd be missing. Yeah. And, you know, we'd have to get another one, or, you know, they'd ask us to make one for them. So it spurred it along to kind of go into mass production at that point, because we just kept losing our own.
Now, I got one. Allison had given me one of these things. And I did find out it's not good for coffee. I don't know if you know that or not.
I would stick to the cup holders.
Yeah.
It has to have some kind of substance to it where it won't just spill out of there. But I think it's so much better than sitting the sauce on your lap while you're driving. Don't you think?
Absolutely, yes. But you bring up a good point. You can use some other things in there. You could put some loose change or
hummus.
You could put hummus. You could dip soy sauce and sushi.
Yeah.
You know, you could get creative.
Hand sanitizer?
Hand sanitizer. Yeah. Sometimes I clip my sunglasses on there.
Or your mask.
Oh, the mask. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice mask clip. Yeah.
I mean, it really is genius. I love the product. I think it's such a great idea. And I also think it's interesting reading about your guys' background, because you are first generation Americans. Your families came over from Lebanon. And you say that fast food really wasn't a regular thing for you growing up.
No. It was like a special treat, like very rare. You know, our moms were the types of just home-cooked meals. It wasn't a lot of outside food. So when we did get McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, I don't think Chick-fil-A existed, but
yeah,
it was a special thing. So I think that later on in life, when we had, you know, a little ability to go and get some more fast food, it just became a little bit more habitual.
Yeah. I mean, eating fast food at the time was the equivalent of like going to a 5-star restaurant. There was nothing better than if your mom or, you know, one of our moms said, we're going to get McDonald's. It was like, what is it? My birthday? Is it a treat? I mean, like, you know, home cooked meals were it. It was just all weird foreign food to our friends. But, you know, to us, it was regular food, but that was all we ate. And then fast food was such a treat. So, like Will said, once we broke loose, we kind of rebelled against the old country, and just fast food was everything after we, you know, went to college and kind of went out on our own.
And then, of course, the big moment, you appeared on Shark Tank last year. Let's listen to a clip from that pitch.
If I come in as a partner, a very important one that's willing to work hard on this, I'll do it if I get 25% so that we're all equal. Stop thinking about it, because the clock is ticking, and I want you out of here with me.
He
as
actually
a
would not be a bad partner for you, and you knew you were going to have to give up 25%.
Yes or no? Guys?
Ultimately, Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, offered $45,000 for a 25% equity share. So tell us what was going through your minds when he presented that offer.
Fear, excitement, anxiety. I don't think anyone can fully illustrate the Shark Tank experience with words. I mean, it really is like being in a Shark Tank. I mean, it's just, when he made the offer, I think there was like a deafening silence at that point. And definitely, we were just like, okay, like we love Mr. Wonderful. It's a good offer. And I don't even think we had to talk to each other. We just said, yeah, let's do it.
We all just said, yeah.
Wow. Did you have like a figure in your mind that you wouldn't go past, or were you just sitting there like, whatever happens, you'll jump on it?
Yeah, we did a lot of preparation for the show. We wanted to make sure we had all our, you know, all of our details figured out, because just doing reviewing back in, at, you know, other people's pitches and how well they can go or how terrible they can go. You know, we had all that worked out, all our numbers, all our math, and, you know, we wanted to make sure that we negotiated to where we got, and he was right on the edge, right on the limit of what we were hoping for.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm nervous just thinking about it.
I know, me too, right? I'm getting a little sweaty imagining myself like right in front of them and what that must feel like. Did you guys just, I mean, you probably couldn't eat that whole day. You were so nervous.
It was a dream come true. Let me tell you, you go in and you're a little starstruck for like, I don't know, maybe 5 seconds, and then you don't have time to be that way. And then you just kick in. We rehearsed our pitch maybe 1,000 times. So yep. Then once we started, you know, delivering the pitch, it was just, we just got in the zone and just went. And then it was, then just answering their questions. And then it was just fantastic. And then, like Mike said, once we hit, Kevin came down to the number we wanted, it was like, boom, here we go.
Yeah. The crazy part about Shark Tank is you're getting questions nonstop from every which way. And you're just trying to answer as many as you can in as much detail as you can. The pitches typically take over an hour, I think was ours. So you guys, like the general public kind of sees the
abridged
version of the total experience. But the reality is it's a very intense hour long interview, where you're just getting grilled by some of the smartest people in the world, you know, about your business. And
I will say, it's one of our favorite moments is when Barbara called out Tony for, what did she say?
You don't seem too interested to be here right now. Too happy to be here. Excited to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to have a very mellow demeanor.
He didn't want to be on. He didn't want to go on.
Like, I mean, I had some reservations.
He didn't want to do this podcast. I had to force him to be on the podcast.
What?
I'm not a big guy.
So he's a private person.
He's a very silent partner, you know.
And I'm just kind of a quiet person overall. But, you know, when you're on the show, you're expected to kind of like have this bounce and energy to you. And reality was, I you know, until she kind of said that, I was really kind of in a like sit, laid back, okay, I'll kind of watch what's going on here. And then, you know, Mike stuck up for me, thank God. But, you know, it was an interesting experience. Yeah.
And I did enjoy Mark Cuban calling me out. He knew I was the taste tester, and I just had to admit it. And I think I like rubbed my stomach on TV.
Will carries just a little bit more weight than the two of us.
A necessary role in this development, though, for sure.
Well, obviously, Jim and I are huge fans of your product. We get it. I mean, it's amazing. But were you worried that these like incredibly wealthy people who probably aren't eating nuggets every day, you know, fumbling with their sauces, would understand the beauty of your product?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very worried.
Thankfully, Mark Cuban came to our aid, and he was like, I eat 30% of my meals in the car.
Yes. I loved that moment.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, I mean, it was nerve-wracking for us because at that time, we were a very young company. I mean, we had just shipped our initial orders out maybe
just after
two or 3 months in advance of that, like after our Kickstarter campaign. And, you know, our public feedback was either amazing, like people loved this product, or they thought it was the stupidest thing they'd ever seen in their life.
What? So
I could never be friends
with that person.
Those are like the ketchup haters.
And yeah, the people that don't eat fast food or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever. Well, that's not your client. That's not your customer.
But when we went on the show, we were like, okay, either we're going to get laughed out of the room or they're going to absolutely love it. And thank God everyone absolutely loved it. So,
did your lives change after Shark Tank?
There's a moment of high of success feeling. So we, you know, we were happy. Very happy we got the deal. Our businesses started to pick up and going in the direction we wanted it to. And so I would say, you know, from a business standpoint of view, yes, it gave us a big boost into where we were hoping this would go. So we, you know, we're very happy we went on the show, very happy it went all successful. And Personal lives, though, you know, we have a lot more we want to conquer.
I would say it was a brief celebration, and then it was like back to work.
Well,
it was just a lot more work since then.
There was a deafening reality of like, oh my God, the orders are coming in, and someone has to ship these. So the celebration was very brief, very quick, and the next morning we pretty much spent in a warehouse shipping Sosmotos to as many people as we can get them to before we sold out 3 weeks later, yep. I think it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then after that, it was kind of back to the, not drawing board, but just back to basics, getting back to people that had emailed us, getting back to, you know, figuring out how we're going to run the company day to day at that point. So,
well, guys, I will offer you $100 for 51% equity share. If you don't have to answer me right now, because we're going to take a break. And when we return, I'm going to see if I can beat the sauce specialist in a special sauce edition of Chick-fil-A Trivia.
Before 2020, you probably never thought you'd have a collection of face masks, but that's just the world we live in right now. We'll make your mask stash more moveless with one of our cow print face masks. Right now, we're giving one away free with every order at chickfilapodcast.com. Use the code KIDMASK for a free children's mask or coupon code ADULTMASK for a free adult mask. That's KIDMASK, all one word, or ADULTMASK, all one word, to get your free cow print face mask. This offer is available while supplies last at chickfilapodcast.com.
Well, welcome back. We've been hanging out with Tony, Will, and Mike, inventors of the Sosmoto Dip Clip. And actually, I don't have mine anymore. I don't know if I mentioned that.
What?
My Jeep.
Jim, what?
I know. I'm ashamed of myself, but my Jeep, it died at just under 300,000 miles. And I gave it to one of my kids, not the Jeep, but the
Sosmoto. So you passed it on. Okay. I tell you what, we'll send you a new one. Don't you worry.
Okay, aww. Good. That's beautiful.
We can't let you go sauceless anymore, buddy.
But it should be a family heirloom. It really should.
It should
be handed down generation to generation.
Yeah, good point. No, that's what I'm doing.
You could have sprung for another one, maybe. I don't know. Just a thought. Well, okay. So if you get an email from Will, you'll notice that it says his title is COO and Nugget Historian. And I am hoping, Will, that that's not just a joke and you actually have some sort of authority on nuggets.
Oh, boy. It was a joke I used during my Shark Tank.
No!
But go ahead. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Well, do you have any nugget facts, like, on the top of your head that you can tell?
I can't remember the guy's name, but I think it was, like, 1950s. He was a professor at Cornell, and he came up with nuggets. But they weren't called nuggets. They were called, like, Crispies or something. They weren't called nuggets, by the way. And yeah, that's how the nuggets started.
Wow.
Culture. There is a nugget culture. For sure.
Mm-hmm. They're chicken chunks. That's what they were.
Yeah.
Gross. Well, hopefully you know your sauces too, because we're going to put your knowledge to the test with a round of Chick-fil-A trivia. You'll be competing against our own sauce boss, Jim Mann. So guys, to ring in, you're going to shout, "My pleasure."
Oh my God. I'm more nervous now than I was on Shark Tank. I really want to do this. I do well right here. There's so much on the line. I got to be honest with you. Okay, let's go.
All right, Jim, to ring in, you're going to moo like a cow.
All right. How would you like to be me, for crying out loud? Moo. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Question number one. What year did corporate roll out Chick-fil-A sauce nationwide? Was it A, 1983, B, 1997, or C, 2008?
Moo.
Jim?
Let's go with B, 1997.
You're wrong. Guys, do you want to chime in?
I would say
08. I would say 08.
2008.
You are right.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that it's only been in our lives since 2008?
That is hard to believe, actually. It's... But you know what? In Ohio, we only got Chick-fil-A. It might have.
We had to travel to get.
You had to travel to get Chick-fil-A, you know, up until about 5-6 years ago. Yeah, there really wasn't that many around us.
Yeah. Mm.
That's sad.
So that is sad.
We never knew a life without Chick-fil-A sauce. Thankfully. Mm. I mean, and yes.
That's all right. Good. All right, question two. Which sauce has the fewest calories? Is it Zesty Buffalo, A, B, Barbecue, or C, Sweet and Spicy Sriracha?
My pleasure.
Yes.
No, we have a disagreement. I think it's Buffalo. It's okay, Buffalo. Yes, hot sauce.
And you would be correct.
Good. Oh,
man, these guys know their sauces.
I thought you were going to say C.
No.
Okay.
Jim, yeah, would you have gotten that one right if you could have chimed in?
No.
Really? I thought you might know that fact. Okay.
I'm just a loser, Allison.
You don't care about calories.
I know. I've never counted calories. I'm a little stick.
All right. Question three. Where is the birthplace of Chick-fil-A sauce? A, Fredericksburg, Virginia. B, Toledo, Ohio. Or C, Alpharetta, Georgia.
My pleasure.
Yes, guys.
C, Alpharetta, Georgia.
That is wrong.
Oh, no. Now the pressure is just 50-50. I always lose 50-50. So let's go with Ohio in honor of our guest.
You would be wrong.
Oh, let's say Virginia.
Fredericksburg, Virginia. This is kind of a cool story, you guys. You should know this because, you know, it's Chick-fil-A sauce here, and you're the sauce experts. So it was invented by operator Hugh Fleming in the early 80s. Back then, Chick-fil-A sold nuggets, but they had no dipping sauces. So this one location made it in like 5-gallon batches. And it wasn't until he retired, good old Hugh, that he gave the recipe to corporate so that they could make it nationwide.
He's a hero.
Yeah, national hero. Is there a statue of him in Fredericksburg that we can
honor?
I mean, we can visit and honor.
Yes, and I have some sad news.
Oh, no.
Hugh passed away last year at the age of 74.
We should put a statue up in his honor.
If I know.
Listening, thank you.
For your contribution. Yes.
Absolutely. He's a hero. All right. Question number four. Chick-fil-A sauce is the most popular, of course. Thank you, Hugh. Which sauce ranks third in popularity? Is it A, Polynesian, B, barbecue, or C, ranch? Jim?
I'm going to go with A, Polynesian, which is my favorite.
Jim, you are not on your game today. That's wrong.
Wow.
I think we gotta go with ranch.
My pleasure if I start to play it, but is ranch the correct answer?
You guys are wrong, too. It's barbecue.
Third? Wow. What's second? Do you know?
Polynesian is actually second.
Oh, okay. I like that. Oh,
we're from the Midwest, so ranch is like ranch. That's like, yes. That would be number one in Ohio, probably.
It's a big deal there, yeah. That's why I threw it in. I was trying to trick you guys.
You did. Nice. You did indeed.
Well, here's another fascinating little tidbit. In 2017 alone, Chick-fil-A restaurants ordered more than 500 million individual packets of Chick-fil-A sauce. That's why that's number one, baby.
Wow. That is a lot of sauce.
It's a lot of sauce, and that just means a lot of people needing your sauce moto.
Exactly. The best part is that you don't have to pay extra. You just typically give it to you.
Everyone else makes it for extra. Chick-fil-A, God bless them. They give you that sauce for free.
That's right. It's free flow in there. All right, question five. This is the last one. And it's 2-0, so I'm pretty much sure you guys are going to win.
We'll go for the complete shutout, though.
All right. In 2016, Chick-fil-A revamped their barbecue sauce flavor, and customers created an uproar. The company developed a response video where employees read some of the angry customer tweets. It's hilarious. Here's a clip.
Hey, WikiLeaks, have you found any correspondence about the Chick-fil-A barbecue sauce change? I'd like to see someone brought to justice, please.
Chick-fil-A, why in the ham fat did you change my barbecue sauce? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Hashtag no smoky for me. Jeez. What is ham fat?
So thankfully, Chick-fil-A corporate changed course and they brought the original barbecue sauce back, okay? So here's the question. What did they send as a consolation to some 5,000 irate customers? Was it A, a plush cow, B, Be Our Guest cards, or C, a free bottle of original barbecue sauce?
More pleasure.
Yes.
I'm thinking B.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I thought C, but you know, you go ahead. You go ahead.
So, B, final answer.
The Be Our Guest cards?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
Normally that is their go-to. I know this from experience, but it's wrong. Jim, what did they get? A plush cow or a free bottle of barbecue sauce?
Oh, no. I don't think they had the bottles yet, so I'm going with a cow.
My goodness, this is the first time that so many of these questions have been answered wrong.
Consolation. I
said C, and you didn't listen.
I'm sorry.
You see?
I'm sorry.
Always wrong.
Well, you guys still won, though. That's awesome. You are the true sauce bosses.
But you know, we could have done better.
We should have.
Yeah. We should have and could have done better. We are disappointed in ourselves.
We're running late.
Hey, try being me. Man. Yeah. Anyway, time for another quick break while I lick my wounds. More with Tony, Will, and Mike when we return.
Hey, Jim Mann here. It's no secret, but I happen to be a social media expert. I've got tens of Instagram followers just to prove it. So be sure to follow at Chick-fil-A Podcast for an extra helping of the latest episode news, giveaways, and laughs. And I'm just trying to save you some embarrassment. You don't want to be the only one in your friends group that's not following. All right? I'm here for you. So follow us at Chick-fil-A Podcast.
Welcome back. We've been enjoying our time with Tony, Will, and Mike, inventors of the Sauce Moto. So I got to know, are you guys working on any other cool inventions?
Absolutely. I just couldn't tell you about them right now, but...
oh, come on, a little clue, something.
We won't tell anybody.
Give us a nugget.
Happy, I would say. What do you want to
Yeah, learn? there's a large bank of ideas that we're working on, and a couple of them are closer to final development than others. But you know, right now we just have to keep them somewhat quiet.
You said bank of ideas. Is that a clue?
Not necessarily. It's, you know, yeah, I think the community will enjoy our next product. Don't you think, Mike?
Absolutely.
Is it going to enhance our food eating in our car experience?
Always.
Always. Yes.
Okay.
It's the waffle fries. It's the waffle fries. I knew it.
What do you mean? They're inventing waffle fries? Those already exist.
Holders. No, but Mike and I are designing an experiment because we think waffle fries is it's a superior device for sauce because it has the surface area.
Yes.
There's much more surface area for sauce. So we're actually going to calculate this and prove it. And so we'll let you know when that's ready.
Yeah. Amidst our busy schedules,
yes.
Will and Mike have decided or have been planning for
this is a,
weeks
a big,
now.
This is a big question. And we need to answer. No one, if Mythbusters isn't going to answer it, who is going to? We have to do
they
it.
They want to test every fast food fry to see which holds the greatest amount of sauce or ketchup.
After you dip it, yeah.
Oh, hands down, the waffle fry.
Yeah, that's over with.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said, but, you know.
It's got to be proven. We got to show the data.
Chick-fil-A, if you're listening, give us a call.
Of course they're listening.
Yeah, exactly. What else do they do?
Yeah.
Okay, before we go, I want each of you to tell us what your favorite sauce at Chick-fil-A is.
Polynesian. I'm with Jim on this.
Yes.
I always go for Poly.
I'm a Chick-fil-A or barbecue sauce fan.
Mm, do you ever mix them?
No, but I'm going to here in a second.
Very good. It's very good.
I'm the barbecue sauce, ma'am.
All right. It's okay.
Actually, that was all the wrong answer. Usually we do all the sauces.
Yeah. Yeah, we
but
do.
But I just reach for Polynesian first. Yeah.
Yes. Good choice.
I'm imagining your car. It's like every vent covered in dip clips. like
every
50%.
Yeah.
Two of them.
We basically leave enough for every passenger in the vehicle to at least be able to enjoy the dipping sauce of their choice. But in the glove box, there's typically two or three additional sauce motos in case
Oh, my glove box and the middle one is just filled with ketchup and
And that too.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm so envious right now. It's like you guys are just rich with sauce motos.
Yeah.
Well, we're happy to send you some anytime, and we'd love to give your listeners a coupon code so they can order their own at saucemoto.com. Just use the coupon code MYPLEASURE.
Oh, that's so sweet of you guys. I love that.
Oh, it's no problem at all.
Yeah. Happy dipping, everybody.
Very cool.
Wow. Well, where can people find more information and connect with you guys?
Sure. We're SauceMoto on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Where else can you reach us? And you can find us on Amazon and AutoZone.
I take care of Twitter, and we have like 92 followers, so it won't go through. Sweet. I won't see it.
Oh, and TikTok. And TikTok has been great for us lately. So yeah. I haven't. I'm with Jim on this. I'm like, we're a little too old for this. We're still trying to figure it out. But it's a really cool platform, Jim. Give it a shot.
Okay. I'm only like 16, okay? I'm just mature.
Oh, man. This has been so much fun. Thank you guys for joining us.
No, it's our pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Will's been planning that for like a week.
I almost missed it.
And it was Tony that didn't want to talk to us, right?
I did want to talk to you guys. I just
he's shy. We had to give him a little push.
I'm not a very public person. That's all.
So now that we've reached the end, how are you feeling? Was it okay?
Yeah,
I had a lot of fun.
I had a great time, and I've stopped clenching every part of my body.
I was focused all day thinking about all the hard questions you're going to ask, and I was like writing down the answers. The one I did not prepare for was tell us about yourself. So when it started with me, I was like, oh my God, and I just blanked.
Well, we are right here cheering you guys on and wishing you the very best.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Oh, and do you know a super fan that we need to feature on the podcast? Head to chickfilapodcast.com and give us the details. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me, and our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm, but it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with two N's, madeproductions.com.